Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We like to do this every Tuesday. If there's some special stuff that Caleb Williams does.
I hope you have an open for that that actually involves music from the specials.
Well, I think Caleb is still trying to find his way in this league. We know he's going to be a superstar.
I expect him to lean on the talent around him.
Now looking for a downfield shot, and that's what you just talked about. He takes the profit and gets a first down on second down and short and moves it to the 40 of LA.
I'm going to do whatever I need to do for my team to win. Now that's handing the ball off, leaning on my guys. If that's dropping back, throwing the ball 30 times, that's doing that.
I mean, you got to feel like a proud father. Your kid's just growing up right before your eyes.
And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him.
Not trying to do anything special. And then, you know, when those moments happen, when those moments come up,
that's when you do the special.
You know, it's time to be special.
Williams gets hit by Burse, stays up, on the move.
Got him.
And he connects with Swift, who dives ahead near the sticks. They'll mark him out of bounds to stop the clock with 32 seconds left, and it's good enough for a first down, seemingly.
Caleb somehow slips out of the tackle. He had Swift early and ends up finding him late.
All the special things is naturally going to come out when you're the number one pick.
You're the one the prophecy spoke of. You're the special.
The special.
It's nice to have an opportunity to go back and look at some of the specific stuff when you're trying to figure out trajectory for the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams. Why not look at some of the plays that make you go, oh my, that was something special.
Yeah, because Ryan Poles set the template. Rely on your guys, play within the system, and then when it's time, become the special or do the special or unleash the special. I like the idea of becoming it because it takes us back to Owen in the Lego movie. So what was special? When did Caleb show it to us on Sunday in London? You talked about this play in our group thread, and you'll hear one of our best analysts at The Score talk about this play. He just did it this morning. You'll hear that in a moment. But let's talk about the play that led up to it and give you the play that we're discussing. We have two specific plays to get to here. Here's the thing. First and 10 at the Bears' 26-yard line. Okay? I'm going earlier. We're going earlier in the game. It's a big play because it's a third down. And there's a screen pass to the left that gets completed to Roschon Johnson, but there was a fake right on the play. Here's the screen pass that gets completed.
Williams, that's Roschon Johnson. He takes it for a first down and more. Roschon Johnson. Gain of 16. First third down conversion of the game for the Bears.
And you're going to send DJ Moore in motion here. Fake the bubble screen to him on the right-hand side. Try to get the linebackers moving and just dump the screen to the backside. Nice balance. Does the knee scrape the turf right there? It's really close.
Well, that's something replay assist would chime in on, but they have not. So it is where it is.
So that's a great description by Kurt Warner to tell you they faked the bubble screen to DJ Moore and completed the screen left to Roschon Johnson. The very next play has a fake right and a fake left, and then he goes down the middle.
So it is where it is on the 31-yard line of the Jaguars. Fakes to Allen, fakes to Swift, and there's Komet. Cole Komet. Touchdown. 31 yards. What a play.
Just a great play design right here, trying to spread the linebackers with a fake to Keenan Allen on the left, a fake to Swift on the right. You see the linebackers not knowing where to go. Komet just sneaks down the middle. Easy pitch and catch, and the big tight end does the rest.
So it's gorgeous, and Shane Waldron gets a lot of credit. But Caleb Williams in postgame, Lawrence, talked about how they had watched film together and he saw that the linebackers are fast flow. So he knows what he's doing. He's trying to
bite up.
You bet. He's trying to bait those linebackers to bite right and to bite left. And what's beautiful is his footwork and his eyes on that play and what it does to the pass rusher, Josh Hines-Allen.
Yeah, he freezes him. It was gorgeous. Like, that's one of the best players in the game. Like, legit, Josh Hines-Allen is a really great player, and he was just like, wait, what just happened? Where's that guy? Oh, no.
Josh Hines-Allen comes off the left edge as the defensive end, and he's right there and could have gone right to Caleb, but he
froze.
He absolutely froze and then bit and goes further up the field. Caleb turns and goes right down the middle. This morning, Dave Wanstead was on with Mully and Haw, and he broke down this play.
You know, any time that there's a successful screen type of play like that, it all comes back to the quarterback. The quarterback has to set it up. You know, in other words, if we're going to run a little tight end screen or whatever, if Caleb would have dropped right back and starts looking at Komet from the very beginning, they would have covered him. They would have covered him. But it was a great design, Mully, right? The lineman released both ways. He looks to the left. You know, he looks to the right. The linebackers, the whole middle of the field parts. And again, let's go back to this. That play is only a good play if the defense is going to be in a two-deep where the safeties have to split.
Right.
If they're in a single high, that's not a good play. But in that area of the field, a lot of teams will run too deep, and it was really a lack of respect. They're saying, you know what, we're going to take away DJ Moore and your outside receivers, but we're going to give you the middle of the field. Go ahead, throw to Komet. And it was a great design play.
Love what Wani said, because it seems so basic, but if Caleb looks down the middle at all, that thing doesn't work. He never once looked down the middle until he came back to him.
Yeah, like that's the beauty of this, is that you're looking at the growth, and that's why I was talking about the concept of courage on that play with Kurt Warner, because there's so many quarterbacks in that moment that are like, oh, I got to get to the play. I'm running out of time. You know, there's a defensive end that's closing in on me. I got to get the ball out. Lock on to the receiver, and then a good defensive player is like, something's wrong. Let me back up.
Yep.
Let me, this feels like I'm being suckered. That was too easy. Why is he looking over there? I'm going to back up now.
Yeah.
And then blows the play up.
And Kurt was a little hesitant to give too much credit to that because Kurt wants quarterbacks to do it.
He made his way to giving him credit towards the end of the answer.
He did. But Wani, the defensive guy, is like, oh, man, he got me. Look at that.
He got me.
He got me. And that's what happened to very good players like Josh Hines-Allen. Funny thing about this play, it was in the playbook, and they didn't know when they were going to run it. DJ Moore on Mully and Haw the other morning said that he gave his input on when he wanted the Bears to run it.
We knew that was going to hit. We got it a few times in practice over the weeks, and even in training camp, that we knew it was going to be like, yo, that's going to work. And when we went out there and did it, I said, I hope we call it inside the 50, more like inside the 40, so Cole can get a touchdown. And he actually did it because I had said that to Keenan and Caleb on the bus. So kind of spoke that into existence.
How about that? DJ Moore on the bus to the stadium says, make sure we wait and don't call that until we're inside the 50 or maybe the 40 for Cole because he can't run the whole way. But they wanted to make sure that Cole got a touchdown on it because they knew it was going to hit since training camp. That's awesome.
This is just anecdotal, but these guys seem to be talking ball outside of the game. We didn't hear a lot of this over the past few years. I'm not saying they didn't do it, but you hear this, whether it's baseball or football, like winning organizations, winning culture, is guys talking about the game when they're not like in the stadium.
Staying in the clubhouse after a game to talk about the game, and not meaning the one that you just played, but the game overall, trading notes, figuring out how to be better. Where does this person like for the throws to go? How should I one hop a ball from third base to the first baseman?
Oh yeah, man.
All of that stuff. Where do you as a shooter want me on the bounce pass to get you the ball? That's when you know that guys are starting to talk about the game in a very different way. And I think it makes everyone better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you guys. And it's like what DJ said last week. He said, like, we're having fun, and then we're winning. And then we're having more fun once we're winning, and then that's going to help us win more.
I got into a five-minute conversation with Klay Thompson about how he wants to receive the ball as he shoots. Like, just hearing him, like, how meticulous it is of, like, well, I don't want it center. I kind of want it a little closer to my shooting hand. I want to be able to get it. I want the laces of the ball to be facing this particular direction. That type of bleep, when you're playing at the highest level, those types of details matter. So I love that DJ is sitting there and saying, I think I know where this play can really work for us. And then it happens.
Bing, bang, boom.
Two things speaks real quick on that play before we move on. One, Caleb is patient. We haven't seen a Bears quarterback at any level exhibit the patience that Caleb exhibits. Not many quarterbacks in the NFL can double fake those two screens and then wait to find Cole until he's open. Number one. Number two, a group that we've dogged big time in the offensive line. That pull from Matt Pryor to fake the on the screen to the right side was patient, was perfect. Matt Pryor sold that whole play. Matt Pryor pulling when that's a group we've dogged for the last 6 weeks sold everything.
I wrote it down when Kurt said it. I don't worry about Caleb's feel. That is high bleeping praise.
You weren't nervous at all on Sunday, were you?
About this game?
Watching the game.
Yeah.
Watching the game. That was my top note on Sunday. I don't feel nervous.
That's good.
That's pretty neat, man.
That you're living in a space where you're watching offensive football by the Chicago Bears and you're not stressed out by it.
To your point on the offensive line, Brian Baldinger did a breakdown that included this play, and he highlighted all five offensive linemen sprinting down the field to go meet Cole Kmet and celebrate with him in the end zone because they were so happy that it happened. They were all on their feet still because they didn't even push that much. They just sold their fakes, and Pryor was the last guy to get down there because he had sold his pull on the right side, but all five of them went down there to celebrate.
And how about Tevin burying his guy?
Oh,
all day.
Tevin mauled.
He did.
All day.
Tevin had a good, good day. Two more quick items on the special. They have to do with Caleb on the move. This during the 10-play, 85-yard drive to get the second touchdown before halftime. First and 10 at the Bears 26. And Caleb waits, has time, and then gets a lot of yards on his own.
Williams looking deep, looking for somebody, looking for room. Finds it, and he's got a lot of room in front of him. Caleb Williams slides down right around the logo. And that brings us to the two-minute warning, a gain of 24. A buzz in Tottenham, as we'll see what the Bears do on the other side of this warning.
four runs for 56 yards for Caleb, and that the longest one, and he has that moment sliding on the logo. So you've got to respect that. He has said he always is looking to throw, but if there's open space, he will take it. So it stands to reason that a little bit later on this very same drive, it's later on in the fourth, excuse me, Caleb is scrambling to go right, and at the very last minute, he sees Cole Kmet disengage from his block and does this.
Williams in his pocket evades the sack and finds Kmet. Cole Kmet inside the 10. Gain of 26. Caleb Williams doing it all.
And they've talked so much about Caleb Williams' feel for the game. I believe right here, he's almost ready to throw this away and then just feels the opening back behind him, his big tight end sneak out, able to get the ball back to him for the big play.
How many times have we seen either Mitch or Justin or go back to Cutler or go back to wherever you want where they're scrambling and they'll take what they can get and get out of bounds? And instead,
or they'll go, with Mitch, he would sometimes run himself into a sack out of bounds.
Mitch would just run out of bounds and accept a sack.
And with Justin, you're like, sometimes the best play is to live for another play. But because he had all that special sauce as a runner,
sure,
take off and see what you can make out of it.
Absolutely. And we've celebrated that.
But it's easier to get down the field this way. And I imagine if Caleb were talking us through this, he would go, well, the clock went off in my head, and I knew that by then, Kmet was at a place where I could get him the ball without there being a lot of danger to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awareness and feel.
And
I don't use special sauces on food items.
He does not.
Leaving himself the possibility to look and find somebody downfield, and then Kmet, who had just a great all-around game, disengaging from the block and going scramble drill. Well, let me just wave myself open. Here I am right here as I disengage.
Yep.
It was beautiful stuff on that play. That's the special from Caleb. We saw a lot of it, but the footwork and the fakes on the first stuff that led to the Kmet touchdown.
Press the digitation, right? Yeah. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's it.
See, that's what you're hoping for when you have a young quarterback at this level. Like, that's why, like, I get frustrated with, well, he's playing a crappy team. You're right. He is playing a crappy team. Played a crappy team earlier this season, too, and didn't look like that. So seeing him be more comfortable, to have greater feel, to be in control, I think that's part of the reason why you weren't stressed, Shane, is that if you go back and watch that game, there never seems a point where Caleb is out of sorts. And in earlier games, to go back to like Mike Renner, in the first two games of the season,
he looked overwhelmed a few times.
There were times you go, ooh, that he's going to learn from that. He has.
Because when he said after the game, it's just getting back being comfortable. You can see he's comfortable. And I thought Kurt made a great point with us an hour ago about how now that he's comfortable, the precision on the throws, the command of the throws and the ball placement is there. The other thing we needed to tell you is that the Bears have been flexed. The Bears Commanders game, not to Sunday night, but has been
3:25. The whole country gets to see it.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony. We can talk a little bit about that and the former quarterback who might lose his starting job.
Does he deserve to?
That's next. Spiegel and Holmes. Jim.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Justin has been really good. And we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. Man, this is a competitive league, man. We're trying to position ourselves to be that team. And we got a player with talent who hadn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what Justin has done or has not done. Justin has been an asset to us, man.
I would say so, considering that your team is 4-2.
Your team is 4-2. Justin... He's
been playing the most responsible football of his career.
That's a really good way to put it. Because I don't feel like I'm seeing necessarily some unforeseen progress in pocket quarterback play, like reading through progressions. It's not like I'm watching in pristine detail, but I don't feel like I've seen that. And the numbers don't necessarily belie that.
93.9 rating for Justin Fields.
He's not turning the ball over.
Five touchdowns, one interception. He's thrown for 1,100 yards.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's definitely pretty good. And still they are winning.
Still under 200, but then you per game. But then you add in what he's done in the run game for the Steelers, including last week where he scored two touchdowns on the ground last week, and.
And there are very aggressive, creative quarterback run plays that Arthur Smith is doing. They are working closely together, and you can tell there's a comfort level and there's a trust, and it has been working. It definitely has been working. I still think that the ceiling is it does not look like the ceiling has raised to me for long-term quarterback potential. I'll stand by that firmly.
Can I ask you this question, since we have seen a flurry of activity today?
Yeah.
Is this the Steelers going, let's get Russ out there so that people can see he's healthy, and then we can trade him?
Well, yeah, for those who don't know, the news is that Russell Wilson is the starter, even though Fields has gone 4-2.
Well, not that he's a starter yet.
Getting starter reps?
Yeah, he was taking first-team reps, and that the door is open for him to start.
Okay. Could it be a showcase with a couple weeks to go? It's entirely possible. I mean, November 5th is the trade deadline, and we've seen a flurry of deals already. You rightly brought up the Dolphins and Russell Wilson as one option. And if there's other teams out there, I mean, look, Cleveland is apparently punting on their year, trading away Amari Cooper.
I mean, that whole thing is such a stinky, stinky disaster.
What a disaster. And obviously Oakland or Vegas has traded Devontae Adams.
Yep.
So who else is looking at a quarterback? I mean, Miami's the one that jumps at you. See, here's the thing.
Tennessee, if you think you can salvage anything?
I don't think so. That's a bad roster.
There's a lot bad there.
So, but
quarterback's real bad.
The terms of the trade are very important here in terms of Justin Fields and the Bears, and possibly also from the Steelers' perspective? Because you've been on it with the terms of the conditional draft pick, which started as a 6 but could become a 4.
If he plays 50.1% of the offensive snaps for the Steelers.
So it's not about number of games or number of starts. It's about 50.
The majority of the snaps.
Okay.
So that's still in play. And he's got a 6-game head start. You want him to start 3 more games. Start and finish 3 more games. And you're home on that if you're the Bears.
So, look, is that a factor here? I think it's as simple as Mike Tomlin knowing that there's a higher ceiling with Russell Wilson than there is with Justin Fields.
Yes, the passing game can get better. And maybe Russ gives you that opportunity. The last time we saw Russ, it wasn't great. Now, I'm not saying that the last time that we saw Russ, people in Chicago, he turned in a virtuoso performance in the third and fourth quarter of the game against the Broncos, where he like flipped the switch and turned back into old Russ.
God, I forgot about that.
He was terrific. That throw to Cortland Sutton?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, that was vintage Russ. But between the injuries and ineffective play and maybe being a little bit shell shock because you're dealing with Sean Payton screaming at you for things that are not your fault.
It's a 98 quarterback rating last year for Russell Wilson. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. 3,000 yards he had in 15 starts did Russell Wilson. I have long thought that there is more meat left on that bone. Like, I kind of don't get it, how it decayed the way that it did. That last year in Seattle, and obviously the first year in Denver was not great. But those numbers last year look, they look pretty decent, actually, when you look at them zoomed out. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I absolutely give that a shot and feel great about having a backup playing responsible, athletic football like Justin.
And you're probably going to need both of them anyway if you're looking to keep them, and he didn't really have a preseason, so you send him out there and you see if your passing game gets better. Maybe he'll have better command. They got some other problems on that offense, though, and it's their best receiver. Their best receiver maybe doesn't go as hard as he can when he's not getting the ball. Maybe Russ can help with that. Maybe Justin isn't getting him the ball as much as he would like. But it did seem like, if you were watching the games, that Justin and Freiermuth have kind of figured some things out, like as a target. Najee Harris.
Oh, I love Najee Davenport.
Was talking about how big of a deal it was last week for Justin to do what he did in the game.
It's
an interesting choice. You're going to look up some Najee Davenport stuff now?
Well, because Najee Davenport is part of one of the all-time stories.
Well, right.
Off the field in the NFL.
And we have to, it's the end of the trilogy, right? Because we did the Jim Bob Cooter, and then there was the other guy that actually did go through the Wendy's, and then Najee Davenport.
Yeah.
That finishes the trilogy.
Najee Davenport was arrested in July of, I think it was 16 years ago. Najee Davenport was arrested when he was a member of the Packers. He broke into a university dormitory and defecated in a woman's closet. Hi, everybody. Good evening. According to police, Najee Davenport crept into a dorm room at Barry University. Nice of Barry to open up his university.
He didn't want to be there.
Najee or Barry?
Barry.
6 a.m. on April 1st.
Well, definitely not at 6 a.m. So it was an April Fool's prank.
A woman sleeping in the room.
April Fool's.
Told police she was startled by a strange sound.
Was it poop?
And saw Davenport squatting in her closet. Davenport then allegedly defecated in a laundry basket. Well, that happened. Good for you, Najee. Getting it done. Sorry. What? You took exactly, Chuck. Exactly.
This seems like a good time to pivot.
To more stories about people who pooped in closets?
No.
I got one.
Well, I mean, that's what the furries were doing.
I've done it.
What? What? In a closet?
My own.
Bathroom unavailable? Pipes frozen?
Drunk.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Aren't you glad you joined this show, Lawrence?
We can go there someday, but maybe not a story for today.
Not today.
So wait, you know what? I was going to ask a follow-up.
No, Lawrence, hit me. That's this show. Follow-up.
Okay, so was it an accident, or were you like, I need privacy and I can't get to a bathroom?
Bedroom. And just one of those like, oh, I think this is the bathroom. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, one of those, yeah.
How far gone were you?
This is like a year removed from college. So like, I've never been that drunk since. And it was just like, I'm just getting out of bed. There's a doorway. Let me open it. That must be the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. It just was not.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, tough way to wake up.
Was Najee Davenport there?
No, but Najee Harris was.
And now we're back. Yeah.
Roll Tide.
See? And we're back.
I was going to pivot to, because we haven't talked about it. We talked a little bit about it during transition, but not on the show today, about the fact that the flex is happening.
Yeah, man, it's happening. 12 days from today, the Bears will now be moved to the afternoon slot, the 3:25 slot. And I think there's only like three other games. And this is what it feels like to have a good team and to have an opportunity to watch all of the other lesser teams play at noon. Let them play. Let them be a part of your red zone activities if you want. Huh. Get done with the early slot. My team's in the later slot.
This from the NFL.
Please.
Week 8 scheduling update. October 27th, Bears Commanders game. Now 4:25 p.m. Eastern. Eagles Bengals, 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So the Eagles and the Bengals got demoted to 1 p.m.
Your 1 p.m. games that day. Philly at Cincy, Baltimore at Cleveland, Tennessee at Detroit, Colts at Texans, Green Bay at Jaguars. This is a bad roster of games.
That's how you get moved to the afternoon.
Cardinals at Dolphins.
Woof.
Jets at Patriots. Ew. This one's pretty good. Falcons at Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Saints at Chargers starts the 3:05 window. Bills at Seattle.
That's a pretty good game. It's interesting.
Carolina at Denver.
Woof.
And KC now KC at Raiders.
Yeah, KC at Raiders is the other CBS game. They were expected to go to send Nance and Romo to that. But instead, Nance and Romo go to Washington to watch the number one and the number two picks in the draft. Battle it out for the first of 10 to 15 epic battles.
We think.
Over the next dozen years.
Bears at Commandos.
Yeah.
Then the Sunday night game is, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, who seemingly play on Sunday night every week.
And here's the thing, like, even
and then
if
Monday night, New York Giants at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, boy. And you can't flex from the Monday night games yet.
Not yet.
Those can't get flexed. But that Sunday night game, even if you hate the Cowboys, you might watch. You know, see them suck.
That's a big portion of people who watch Cowboys games.
Right. So you'll go ahead and just kind of accept that if you're NBC.
I mean, Stephen A's watching.
God.
Have you ever been
Black Hat and a cigar.
Bad enough at a job, but still got the money that Daniel Jones got?
Oh, my God.
No.
Not that money. Have I been bad enough at a job?
That someone didn't notice. And they still gave you that kind of money?
You're just kind of like, dude.
Trying to think of gigs that I've played where maybe we weren't very good.
Still got paid and they were like, I loved it.
Yeah, really. Yeah, like that was great.
Have you ever heard Patton Oswalt talk about his experience of doing a casino show?
Ooh.
It's hilarious.
Oh, no, I haven't.
That shouldn't be for anyone.
He said that. They came and got him, and they were like, oh, yeah, like the people have been drinking for an hour or whatever. And he's like, really? He said that he walked out on stage, and people just started screaming things that he had done in his career. Ratatouille! It's kind of like when Dan and I interviewed him, and Dan was like, Ratatouille! And King of Queens! He said that he sat there and just acknowledged people saying his IMDb back to him.
Oh, my God.
He said that he got paid the most money that he's ever been paid in his life. The people at the casino were so happy. They were like, we have a bunch of different casinos. So if you want to do one of these a month.
Wow.
And he was like, Okay.
He's so good in King of Queens. That's my second favorite show of all time. He's great as Spence.
What's number one?
Office.
Oh, okay.
By the way, real talk, if you're Channel 26, which would you rather have?
King of Queens
or the Blackhawks.
Or the Blackhawks.
I'm
not trying to be a jerk.
Oh, no, it's the real deal.
Those reruns rate. Seinfeld reruns rate. Mm. Which would you rather do?
Yeah.
It's something to think about.
It's definitely part of it. I love that. I once, Lawrence, knew somebody who played a ton of casino lounge gigs. So you're not in the main concert hall, but you're playing in the lounge. And literally the goal, as they were told, was to be good enough that people didn't leave, but not be so good that they stayed there instead of gambling. Like, you're supposed to be just this little sweet spot of, oh, this is fine.
This guy's all right. Hit me.
I could have a drink. And like, yeah, this isn't too special. I'll go back out and go back to the tables now. But thank you. You know, that's that little sweet spot they wanted you in.
I love that he told that story, man. And he's like, that's the line of like selling out. And he goes, I know it's there. Like, I know that it's there for forever.
Oh, yeah.
That I can just call this person back and be like, book me for blank. And then I just go up there and people yell, King of Queens, mm-hmm. King of Queens.
You watch Hacks? You watch Hacks at all?
I have not gotten it.
So good. So, so good.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the best. Jean Smart is funny as hell in this, like, role of a lifetime stuff.
All right.
And you know her. She was great in Watchmen. She's phenomenal in Watchmen.
And Designing Women.
Yes, yes, yes.
Going all the way back to being Charlene? I think that was her character's name.
I don't remember, but Hacks is very much about the Vegas comedy scene. So, yeah, you'd probably dig.
All right, I'll check that out. What are we doing for the last segment?
We were going to do...
exactly. Oh, no. Were we supposed to do the thing where we put out
stuff ask people
early?
For questions? Yeah.
All right. So
let's do it again. Hey, if you'd like to ask us any questions, we'll do one last thing. You can ask us questions right now via text and via Twitch. We are on top of it
And if you don't send us questions, then we have to ask Shane more about that night where he thought his bedroom was his bathroom.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the cops were involved.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So we might get
that's a tease.
Yeah, might get that answer. But feel free to ask me questions, Lawrence questions, Shane questions about the cops, and Tanny questions about his joy at working with all of us. You can do that next here on Spiegel & Holmes on 670 The Score.
Now go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I'll answer whatever I feel like.
Oh, my father, that's... I mean, I don't know.
I don't expect you to say no. I guess what I'm asking, though...
I'm just not fair what kind of question that is.
No.
Can we word it differently?
Yeah, fair enough.
We answer your questions sometimes at the end of the show. We call it one last thing. You send them in.
Do we call it that?
Well, now are we
still? Should we change it?
Should we call it one last thing? These are conversations for another time. Right now, we're actually doing the segment, and it sounds like this when Shane pulls a question or three.
219 on Twitch. 219 Jeff, what's your go-to order from Popeyes?
You know, somebody asked that via text as well.
Chicken.
Dark meat.
I just love chicken.
I make sure I get a leg, and I make sure I get a thigh if I can, and a breast and the biscuit.
4-piece mixed mashed potatoes, extra biscuit.
You love eating bricks.
No, there's a trick.
Marshall talked about this on, I think, Monday.
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
So there's a trick to freshening your Popeye's biscuit. Wet napkin, 10 seconds in the microwave will do it. But I found like the perfect Popeye's, and it doesn't make sense like where it is. But it's worth me. I have to go past like 5 Popeyes because they're not great. But
it's like Harold's now.
There is a Popeyes, and it is like it just like pops up. It's like Shangri-La.
Wow.
47th east of Ashland. It's right back of the yards, and it's right off of like a steel mill. And you get in and get out, they're great over there. But yeah, four-piece mix, mashed potatoes, extra biscuit.
On Twitch, Audio Kid, I think that's Doug in Evergreen Park. For Lawrence, you've talked about having your mornings available since moving to afternoons. I know it's early in, but are afternoons your personal favorite time to do a radio show?
No, just because I'm still getting used to this.
It's a long day before we actually work, isn't it?
It is.
It's weird.
And like, I was sitting there this morning, I was like, okay, like I got my pod done, I've got most of my prep done, and now I'm just sitting
here. Yeah, it's weird.
I still haven't quite, and I had mentioned it to someone this weekend, I said, I literally have my entire morning free, but now I've gotten my routine like down now, and I thought it was going to be sleep later, but it's not. So I'm up at 6. I'm usually in the gym by 7.
Yeah.
And then you kind of start.
Hey, man, it's why I went to bed so early last night with Tom Hamilton. What else you got, Shane?
A couple people want to know from both of you guys, what surprised you most about the new show?
What has surprised me most about the new show? I guess it's just Lawrence's instincts as a partner are so giving and generous, and his timing is such that there's always room for me to jump in. And it's an interesting thing. If anything, so like, and that stuff is usually what I got to work with in terms of chemistry with all the different partners I've had in my whole life, but it's really, really easy with you. So
I'm a bit of an over-functioner, and learning to not do that is going to be a struggle for me. And walking in here and being like, I just come in here with ideas. That's it. I just have to come in here with ideas and talk.
Just gotta
like,
show
that's
up.
It. That's all I gotta do.
Hey, man.
It's been really nice.
It goes back to the advice I got from Buzz Kilman years ago. Prepare as much as you think you should, and then show up. That was it.
That's a wrap.
On the way out, people say, forget Popeyes. What's your Wendy's order? Wendy's order.
Quarter pound, double stack, fries and a Frosty. And you dip whatever you want in the Frosty.
What flavor Frosty?
Chocolate.
Nice.
So Wendy's was my go-to after softball. Single with cheese, 10 plain nuggets, ranch. It's the only time I do ranch ever is with Wendy's nuggets. Fries, lemonade, 2 chocolate chip cookies.
You ever have ranch from Jets?
You told me.
You were saying that.
We ordered Jets pizza on the way home from the Bears game at like 11:30, 11:45 on Sunday, and ordered an entire bottle of ranch dressing from Jets.
Didn't know you could get a whole bottle.
Neither did I. Absolutely insane. Get ranch from Jets.
I like it.
I will take that under advisement.
And to the bank. This was nice. We should do this again at some point.
How about tomorrow? What are you doing? You free?
Well, I meant the segment, but yes, the show. Yes, I will be here tomorrow.
I definitely thought that's what you meant. I was like, how about tomorrow, 2 to 6? Jason Leisure was on the show. He was really good. Larry Potash was on the show. He was a feisty basketball player, and he was fun. And Kurt Warner was on the show, and he was more impressed with Caleb Williams than perhaps he was before this week.
We love it. Thank you so much for all the love that you've shown this show. It's been a month now, and things have been good.
It's crazy.
We appreciate you. For Tanny, for Shane, for Spiegs, I'm Lawrence. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
I mean, that is peak entertainment aura.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The job market is constantly changing, and at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too. Working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience.
Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.